So we're going to discuss today, at least for the first part of our discussion, is a question of the Rashba in Tshuvas HaRashba. And this you'll see on page Shin Tzadi Ches, on the paragraph that starts Tov Kuf Pei Dalet. Here's the question. He says, we have a principle that extends Kimlei B'derabim Minei to the case of Baba Machteres. And while he's a Baba Machteres, if he breaks Kalim, he's potter from Tashlum. So the Rashba is bothered by this. We know Kimlei B'derabim Minei in a case where Bezdin is going to put someone to death for a crime, and the Torah ties the hands of Bezdin and says, well, we cannot allow Bezdin to impose a second penalty, a second onish. Now, that halacha would not, at least at the surface of it, should not apply to Baba Machteres. Because although Baba Machteres could be put to death, but not by Bezdin, if we take the concept of Kimlei B'derabim Minei, we put it into the context of Bezdin, and we address Bezdin and saying that they can't impose two punishments, that doesn't seem to have any application in the case of Baba Machteres, which is not a chiyuv misas Bezdin. So the Rashba offers the following answer.
Why is the difference that if the guy's Mechal Shabbos and he tears the Shiraim?
Because in that case, Bezdin will put him to death. If there were Edom and Asra, they'll put him to death.
It's Mises Bezdin.
So Mises Bezdin means that we can only give him one onish, Mises Bezdin. We can't make him pay for the ripping of the Shiraim. But here in this case, we're not putting him to death. He's a Baba Machteres. Again, the Torah allowed the owner of the house to put him to death if need be, right, under certain circumstances. If he came in armed, or if we assume he came in armed, but Bezdin will not put him to death. Baba Machteres is not Chayav Misa. Michal Shabbos is Chayav Misa. I think the Rashba's question would be by a Rodev as well. That let's say a person is a Rodev and he breaks Kalim while he's a Rodev. Why would we apply Kimlei B'derabim Minei? After all, there's no Chayav Misa's Bezdin. If the entire focus of Kimlei B'derabim Minei is that Bezdin can't impose two punishments, that's the assumption of the Rashba in his question. You'll soon see that he rejects that. But then why does that apply to Baba Machteres? He's not Chayav Misa's Bezdin.
That was his whole shita 2 weeks ago that Rashba was saying is also Mishum Rodev.
Okay, fine. I don't think by classifying Baba Machteres as a Rodev it's going to help us here, because bottom line, there's no Chayav Misa's Bezdin.
Fine.
Well, so the Rashba answers that there are two sources in the Torah, two verses from which we derive Kimlei B'derabim Minei, and they're fundamentally different one from the other. He says it's true. One of those verses, one of those sources, is irrelevant and cannot be in any way impact on Baba Machteres. That's called Kidei Rishaso. The Gemara says that since the Torah says Rishaso in singular, it means that you could only punish him for one rishus and not for two rishus. However, the Rashba says there's another source for Kimlei B'derabim Minei, and that's the parsha of Lo Yeh Ason Anoshi Anesh, which means that if Reuven intends to hit Shimon, instead he hits Leah, and Leah loses the Vlados, does Reuven have to pay the Dmei Volados? And the Torah says it all depends. Im lo yeh ason, meaning if Leah survives the blow, then Anoshi Anesh, she has to pay. But if Leah dies, then he doesn't have to pay. And this we'll see in Mirtz Hashem, we saw it yesterday, we'll see it again today, on Daf Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph. Oh. Says the Rashba, the halacha of v'lo yeh ason applies even in a case of shogeg. What does that mean? He had no intention of killing this woman, and nevertheless the Torah says that he doesn't have to pay damages if Nebuchadnezzar dies. And why is that? Because kol she'ef shall love only de misa, if the blow which he gives to Leah could have brought him l'idei misa, had it been a case of mezid, let's say there was asra, is the Torah says potur, and the language of the Rashba is potro hakosov mimama. The Torah says you're potur from paying damages. And then the Rashba quotes Tanu de Bechizkiah, who says that we have an equation, analogy, a hekesh between Makeh Nefesh Behema and Makeh Nefesh Adam. They're all written in the same pasuk. And just like in Makeh Behema, the Torah doesn't distinguish between Shogging and Mezid, so to in Makeh Adam, we don't distinguish between Mezid and Shogging. So even in the case of Shogging, in Makeh Adam, the law is that he doesn't pay for the damages. In this case, the damages are Dmei Vlados. He doesn't have to pay for that. Now, is Beis Din going to put him to death if he's a shogeg, if there was no asra? Obviously not. Alma, says the Rashba, what do we see? What halach do we derive from this parasha? The afal pi, the eno chai of misa mamash. He means that Beis Din can't put him to death. Mikomakom, nevertheless, potu mimama. And he says, velo misas Beis Din bilvadom, ro lafil abo alachoso, shalo nifkema, Afilu shalom kedarko nami amrinan b'sanhedrin daf ayin gimel amid beis the eno mishalim knas hoil v'nitan latzilo b'nafsho. This is your case, sir, of Rodev. So we're talking about a person who's Rodev, and he, in this case, he wants to rape her nebuch shalom kedarko. That's called shalom nifkama afilu shalom kedarka. The Gemara says that in such a case he doesn't pay knas, even though normally you would pay knas for a bia shalom kedarka, but here you don't pay knas because this is a case of a rodev v'nitan latzilo b'nafsho. Alma, what do we see? Called the efshar di asul l'dei misa. There's a possibility that it could come l'dei misa. Is part of me mama. Even though right now we're not going to be able to put him to death because Beis Din doesn't have control over the Rodev. But nevertheless, as long as the Avera is an Avera which could lead to a Chiyuv Misa, that's enough to potter him from Mama. So what do we see clearly from this Rashba? There are two different parshios and two different categories of Kim Levi the Rami. One parsha is pretty easy. That's called Kedei Rishosim. And that means that Beis Din cannot impose two punishments. That would only apply in a case of Mezid, because Beis Din is only allowed to put him, you know, to give him Malkus and punish him in a case of Mezid. But now we have another parasha and another category or essence of Kim Levi the Rami. And what's that? That's in Lo Yeh Ason Anoshi Anesh. That applies even in a case where he was a shogeg. And therefore, even though Beis Din is not going to be able to put him to death, since it would be Nitan L'chiv Misa, that's enough to exempt him from paying Mamon, and we apply the principle of Kim Levi the Rabbine. So that has nothing to do with Beis Din being limited and not being allowed to impose two punishments, because again, since he was a shogeg, Beis Din is not going to put him to death, and yet he's potter from mama. Says the Rashba, why? De misa poteris mi mama. What does that mean? Misa poteris mi mama. He's not chayav misa, but he could be chayav misa, and that's enough to potter mi mama. And there's a new halacha of a p'tur here. It's not a halacha that Beis Din can't implement two punishments. It's a halacha that he's potter from mama. And that's not derived from Kedei Rishoso, because again, he's not chayav misa in Beis Din, but it's derived from Ason Yeh, says the Rashba. That's the underlying reason why the Mishnah establishes in Masechta Sanhedrin that Bava Machteris is potter from Tashlumen. So while he's above Machteris, he breaks Kalim. And now what we're saying is that although there's no Misa in Beis Din, but there's Etzem HaMisa. And the Etzem HaMisa means that we can put him to death, albeit not in Beis Din, but as a Bava Machteres or a Rodev, we can put him to death. Therefore, he's potter from Mamon. And that's derived from the parsha of Lo Yeh Ason, again, together with the equation between Makabeim and Makadam of Chizkia, Tana de Beit Chizkia. Ulefizeh, Habobim Achteres, the Avar Bishas Maisa Avera, Bishas Maisa Avera Sheyeshba Malkis, what would be if at the moment he was Baba Machteres, he would eat trefa food, or he would wear shatnez, or something along that line? Could we give him Malkus, or would we say no, he's potter from Malkus? And the answer is that in this case, he would be Chayv Malkus. Why? Because with regard to Chayv Malkus, we only have the parasha of Kedei Rishasa. And here, we don't have a possibility of Kedei Rishasa because Baba Machteres is not a Mises Bezdin, but rather it's a different kind of a Misa. It's a Misa. And the whole parsha that Misa Poteres Mimamon is in the case of Asson, which applies even in the case of Shogi, where Bezdin can put him to death, that has no application here to the case of Malkus. So therefore, if he was above Machteres and he ate Macholos Asuros, he ate Behemet Meya, he would, if assuming again he had Asrofa Malkus, in this case he would be Chayv Malkus, and we would mete out the punishment of Malkus.
Because it's not two onshim from Beit Din.
Correct, because here we can only apply the principle of Kedei Rishasa, which only applies when Bezdin is going to impose two punishments. But in Bav Machteres, which is not a Chiv Bezdin, then we don't apply the principle of Kedei Rishasa. And if you want to apply the principle of Chayvei Mises Shogegin, that's only in the case of a Chiv Mamon. But if we're talking about a Chiv Malkus, that's a whole different story. Now what I'd like you to do is to fast forward to page Tuf Lamed Vav, which we gave out. I'm sorry. What did I just say? Tuf Lamed Vav. Oh, good. Tuf Lamed Vav. Oh, good. Very good. Now, this piece, which we're about to look at, and the os is Tuf Resh Nun Ches, you'll see that on the right side, this piece addresses the sugya on Daf Lamed Zayin. So let's for a moment open up to Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay then. You'll count up from the bottom of the Amud, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up from the bottom. Now, the Mishnah, this is the second Mishnah in Perek Eunaris, derives the conclusion that Baal Bito is potter from Knas because of the principle of Kim Lev Ramine from the Pasuk Veloya son anoshe anesh. And that's explicit in the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks the following. Vahame hachanafka? Does the Mishnah have to quote the pasuk loya son anoshe anesh? Vehasam nafka? We should derive it from the parsha in Kitese of Kidei Rishasa, Mishum Risha achas atomachaivo, Vi'i atomachaivo, Mishum Shtei Rishayos. So now the Gemara is analyzing the need for these two psukim, these two sources. And the Gemara answers the following. What we're about to learn is called Tzrichusa. Right, that's a classic methodology of the Talmud, that if we only had one, we would not derive the other and vice versa. And that's what the Gemara says. Chada b'misu umamim, chada b'malkis umamim. The parasha of Lo Yeh Ason Anoshi Anesh is talking about a Chiyuv Misa. And he doesn't pay Tashlumin because of the Chiyuv Misa. The Pasuk Dei Rishaso is talking about a Chiyuv Malkus. Because that's what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'mhoye bin hakos ha-rosh v'bilo ha-shofet v'ikol lefanov k'dei Rishaso v'mispar. V'ikol lefanov means he gets Malkus. Utsricha, we need both. Di Ashmein, if we only had the Pasuk of Lo Yason, which is Miso Mamon, there's a logic that compels a certain compassion, if you will, to alleviate him from paying Mamon, Mishum De'ika Ibud Neshama, because we're going to take his life away. Amal Malkus Umamon, in the case of Malkus, where we could possibly be more compassionate, the Leker Ibud Mamon, or just the opposite. Maybe we should be more harsh in the case of Malkus and Mamon, because we should be compassionate in the case of Ibud Neshama, and we should say, you know what, we're taking his life away. Do we also have to take his money away? But in the case of Malkus, where we're not taking his life away, it's a lowercase punishment, the Leker Ibud Neshama, aim low. Maybe we'd say here the Torah should be more harsh. And why should we take away the money that's coming to someone as compensation for his loss just because Yenim is getting Malkus? Let him get Malkus and let him pay the Mammon. V'yashminin, in the other way around, if we only had Malkus u'mammon, Mishum d'lo chamira isura, he only violated a lowercase avera, and therefore with the Torah wants to be compassionate and let him get away with one punishment. Amal misu mammon d'chamir isura, if he violated a capital crime, we have to be more strict and more severe with his punishment. Ema lo, maybe we're not going to pater him up from a chiv mama. Tzricha, therefore we need both psuk. Mm-hmm. Now, having seen that, let's take a look.
Look at it the other way.
At this page, Toflamidvav. Now, this page is based on a particular understanding, this is Reb Chaim Ozer, an understanding of Tosfos on Daf Lamed Hei. And I'm vacillating back and forth as to whether or not we should learn the Tosfos inside. It's a very complicated Tosfos, but let's see what we can do to shorten the journey. A kitzur derech, so to speak. He says, Li'el Daf Lamed Hei Omed Aleph, Hikshu at Tosfos, L'reish lakish de islay de chayve malkis shogigim p'turim itashlumim igzer shava de rasha rasha. Let's understand. In the case of misa umamon, misa v'tashlumim, which we derive from the parasha of Lo Yason, Reish Lakish says that applies even in the case of a chayve misa shogigim by virtue of Tana de Bechizkiah. Then Reish Lakish takes it one step further. And he says, not only in a case of Chayvei Misas Shogigin are you Patur for Tashlumin, but even in a case of Chayvei Malkis Shogigin, you're Patur for Tashlumin. Where does it say in the parasha of Lo Yason that even in Chayvei Malkis we apply this principle of Shogigin, that Shogigin are Patur for Tashlumin? So the Gemara answers on Daf Lamed Hey, Migzer Shavah de Rasha Rasha. The parasha of Malkus has the word Rasha, and the parasha of Misa has the word Rasha in it, and therefore we derive one from the other. Just like in the case of Misa, even if he's a shogeg, we pack him up for Tashlumin, so too in the case of Malkus, where it also says the word Rasha, in the case of shogeg, we pack him up from Tashlumin. Frektosis, if that be the case, then I might be Enon Trey Kroy, if Reish Lakish has Exer Shava, Russia, Russia, to compare the laws of Chayvei Malkus with the laws of Chayvei Misa, then in both cases we're going to say he's part of him Tashlumin, even if there's a Shogeg. Is I might be Enon Trey Kroy? Let's go back now to the Sugya that we're learning today on Daf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara has two Psukim. For Kim Levi the Ramine, one for Chiv Misa, that's Ason Yeh, and then one for Chiv Malkus, that's Kederi Shasa. And the Gemara goes through all the somersaults, all the acrobatics in the air to try to justify why we need two psukim. Fektosis, I don't know. Why do we need two psukim? We have Gzeir Shava. The Gzeir Shava should jump and squelch any of your tzrichusos. Amai be'inin trei kroy leilif mehach Gzeir Shava gufa dechayvi malkis mezidim p'turim itashlum in kecha dechayvi misos p'turim. In other words, if the Gzeir Shavah Rosh allows you to put Malkus into the parasha of Misa, and in the parasha of Misa the Torah says Lo Yason Anosh Yanesh, but Im Yason Lo Yanesh, which means that there's no Tashlume Mamon in the case of a Chayve Misa. Now we're going to plug in Chayve Malkus because we have a Gzeir Shavah. So let me go over the Kashya Tosfos once more. By virtue of the Gzeir Shavah Reish Lakish, we can take Chayve Malkus and place it Kaviyochel into the parish of Chayve Misa. Why? Because Rosh tells me that we can equate Chayve Malkus with Chayve Misa. And based on that, Reish Lakish derives the conclusion of Chayve Malkus Shogigin. Well, if that be the case, then why doesn't this Gzeir Shavah of Rosh Hashanah, which allows me to take Chayve Malkus and plug it into the parish of Chayve Misa, that should teach me the very basic halacha of Kim Levin Rabinet? Well, what are you going to tell me? Well, I don't know if I should apply it to Malkus because Lo Chamer Isure, but we have Gzeir Shavah.
But you can be Meshu on Gzeir Shavah. Can't be Meshu on a Hekish. Exactly for this.
So I don't know enough about Gzeir Shavah. As far as I remember, I may even have it here in front of me here. Maybe let's just see.
That could be why the Gemara, the Trichusa of the Gemara, is telling you that you can't do it.
Just one second. Oh, it's in the other room. Okay, so let's assume that a Gzeir Shavah. See, a Gzeir Shavah could lend itself to a pircha, but only a certain type of a pircha. I'll give you an example. There's a Gzeir Shavah of Havaya and Yitziah, correct? So we could say that based on that Gzeir Shavah of Havaya and Yitziah, if a man wants to divorce his wife, he should be able to give her kesem, right? Right, because we equate Gerushin and Kedushin. Like we derive that the conclusion that a get has to be written lishma, and therefore a shtar kedushin has to be written lishma. Whatever dinim we derive, so Tosfos asks the kasha. Let's derive from that equation that you could be able to divorce your wife by giving her kesef. You know, pay her off. It's an encyclopedia Talmudin in my big bag on my table. Maybe by chance, but you don't have to bring it in if there's no Gzeir Shavah there. See if there's Gzeir Shavah.
You don't have to spend time, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't want to get too off on a tangent. So Tosis says that even in Gzeir Shavah we do use a certain element of logic, and that is that a kesef is to be makar of someone's das, and gerushin is to be marchik someone's das. So Tosfos says that therefore we cannot derive from Havaya. It is there? Okay. So do me a favor, Herb, if you don't mind, look up Gzeir Shavah and see what you can find. I'm sure this is a great source for looking for Herb's question about a pirch on Gzeir Shavah. But again, keep in mind that when the Gemara says Ibud Neshama, that Ochamir Yisurei, the Gemara is not telling you that in the case of Malkus, since it's not Chomer Yisurei, there shouldn't be Kimlei V'Rabbi. That's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara is only saying that if I only had one pasuk, namely Asonias then I wouldn't know that the Torah would be compassionate in the case of Malkus. Why? Because there the Torah would say that it's not an Ibud Neshama situation. But again, the Gemara's, this is not what you'd call a pircha. The Gemara's only saying that if I had only one chiddush, I wouldn't be able to derive the other chiddush. Certainly, even that svara that would limit your chiddush would not be enough to undermine Gzeir Shavah. That's not possible. When Tosfos says he can undermine Gzeir Shavah by saying that, you know, Kesef is Lekarev and Ged is Lerachek, that's something totally different. That means that these are two antithetical enterprises that move in opposite directions. rules. But that's not what we're saying here. What we're saying here, if the Torah patters you up in the case of Misa, would the Torah patter you up in the case of Malchus? So the other way around. If I only had Kedei Rishasa, would I extend it to the case of Misa? And then we have various, as far as, you know, to say, well, if I only had one Kiddush, I wouldn't be able to go further. That's not a shlug up of a Kedei Rishasa. So this is Tosus's kasha. Let's again go over the kasha Tosus. Once Reish Lakish has a Gzeres Shav of Rasha, which allows me to equate Chiv Malchus with a Chiv Misa, and again, keep in mind that Reish Lakish, based on that Gzeres Shav, comes to a pretty revolutionary conclusion, which Rabbi Yochanan refuses to accept, and that is that Chavi Malchus Shogim Peturim Imamo. If that be the case, why does the Gemara say that if I had only one pasuk, I would, you know, for Misa, I wouldn't be able to derive Malchus, or vice versa? So he asks, why not say the following? That let's talk about Mezid now. Forget about Shogeg, right? Leave out Shogeg. So in the case of Mezid, we know that Chayvei Malchus is Potur Min HaTashlumin, right? So you're asking, how do I know this? And I need a special pasuk for this. The answer is, I don't need a special pasuk for this, because Chayvei Malchus would be potur from tashlumin, ki hechi the Chayvei Misa is potur mi tashlumin. And what gives me the right to make this equation between Chayvei Malchus and Chayvei Misos? The Gzeira Shava of Rasha. So that's this paragraph that starts with Liel. I mean, if you have the page, you really want to, you know, emphasize this paragraph. I mean, it's a summary and a reformulation of Tosus's kasha. Again, if we had time to go through the Tosus itself, you'll see that the language of Tosus is much more difficult. Oh, so now we're up to the paragraph of Yesh Lomar. So let's say Shiamalus Mimamakim Krasicha, if we can get through this next paragraph. Okay, very profound. Let's see if we can figure it out. I worked pretty hard on this. And it's not just this paragraph. This paragraph is really just an introduction to the next two paragraphs. So we need three paragraphs. It's all one Miksha Achas.
He had a sentence. You have to do the first before you can get to the second.
Yeah, third. Yeah. Now, what he's going to do in this first paragraph, Yesh Lomar, is he's going to just give us a recap of what we saw on page Shin Sari Zayin, Shin Sari Ches. Okay? So let's, you know what? If you don't mind doing this, it's up to you. Let's open up two different pages. If you can keep them both open, and you know, by putting one hand on one side, one hand on the other. We'll take a look back on Shin Sari Zion. Yeah. Okay, then? And you'll see a paragraph on the left column that starts V'yesh Levayer. Yeah. Okay, we worked very hard yesterday on this paragraph.
Wait. Shin Sari
Zion.
Zion.
On the left side of your page, a paragraph that starts V'yesh Levayer. No? No. Wait, give me this for a second. I'll...
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Tough Study Zion.
Oh, okay. That's... Sorry, there are a lot of different pages here, so... Well, what's the paragraph that you had... Where's the page that you had 5 minutes ago, you know, when we started?
That was Tough Study Zion and Tough...
Oh. All right. So it was meant to be Shin Sari Ches that we started with. I'm just asking you to flip it to the other side, which is Shin Sari Zion. The Yesh Levayer, the Chaluk Din, quote, Ein Mesu Mishalmi, Din, quote, Ein Lokim Mishalmi. These are two fundamentally different halachas.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hadi Ein Lokim Mishalim, Yalfina Lemikro, the Kdei Rishaso, Yesod Hadin, Eino Shamalkis, Poteres Esamom, and Raksha Dinu Di Efshar Lebezdin Lechayev Shtei Rishoyos. The Gully Cryer Boim Yakeda Deloke Vieno Mishalim. So again, the whole thrust of Kedei Rishaso in the case of Malchus is that if there's an overlap between Malchus and Mammon, we can't impose two punishments. So we choose one or the other. The Torah says explicitly we should choose Malchus, and therefore he's parted from Mammon. Aval hadi ein mesu mishalim yalfinu lalalon daflamit zayin omen alf mikra delo yason vayalfusi demisa poteres mi Mammon velogak mishum shi efshel chayev shneihem.
Why is it a misa poteres mammon? It's like there's some of them.
I would say the following: if I had to give it some, rational explanation, if it was a drasha like before Musaf, I would say the following: that if you have a very large bonfire and then you take a stick and you light a candle or something, the light is completely void from that little teeny candle in this greater whole. So the Torah says that in the laws of Onshim, when we're giving you Misa, or the Aver is so severe that it could generate Misa, then to give you a punishment of Mammon is it's like insignificant. So it's sort of like swallowed up.
Back to the Trifusa and the Gemara that we learned today.
Yeah. Enochinami, you're 100% correct. And there was a fellow here yesterday. What was his name? Korn?
Eugene.
What's his first name? Eugene?
Eugene.
Eugene Korn. And he also said the same thing as you, Herb, that maybe that's what the Gemara means by Ibud Neshama. That if it's Ibud Neshama, the Torah says you're parted from Mammon. So that's halacha, that misa poteres mi Mammon. We don't have the same halacha in Malchus. In Malchus, we have halacha of Kedei Rishasa, that Besin can't impose two punishments. Okay. So it's very fascinating. Please keep in mind, again, I'm giving you a little bit of a preview of what's coming around the bend here. Please keep in mind that in the Malchus Mammon situation, which is based on Kedei Rishasa, it could really go in one of two directions. It could either be give him Malchus and don't give him Mammon, or the opposite. Make him pay and don't give him Malchus. So the Torah says, Arboim Yaken. But Lu Yitzu, the Torah would say in a particular scenario that he has to pay the Mammon, then he would be parted from Malchus. Is that clear? But in the flip side, when we're talking about Im Lo Yason Anoshi Anesh, if we're talking about Chiv Misa and Mammon, then there's something special about Misa, that Misa Poteres Mi Mammon. But if Lu Yitzuyu, the Torah would say that you're Chayav Mammon, so that would have nothing to do with the Chiv Misa. You understand? The two separate things. It's not that Besin can't impose two punishments. Okay, I'll try to flesh that out a little bit better as we go along. So now we're up to V'yesh Lomar on page Tof Lamed Vav. You have it? Because I was asking you to hold both pages open. I don't know if you were able to do so. V'yesh lomar lefi ma shekasavnu li'el v'yesh chiluk bein din quote ein mesu mishalim bein din quote ein lokim mishalim d'bemiso mamon yalfina mikra d'lo yason d'misa poteres mina mamon v'malkus umamon afkala mikra d'lo k'desh also that ein zed din p'tur shamalkus poteres ni mamon El Yisod Adinu Di Efshal Lechayev Shneya Di Ein Koch LeBezdin Lanosh B'Shtei Rishoyos. The two fundamentally different halachas. One halacha is that Misa somehow completely negates Mammon. That's a p'tur. And the other halacha is that in the case of Malchus, we cannot impose two punishments. One tiki, one laundry. That's the rule. Ulefi Zeh Imash kachinon gavna she is chayev b'mamon. Let's say a person violates a lav. We're going to talk about the lav of lo sana b'riached shoker. And at the same time, he testifies against someone that the guy has to lose his shirt. He has to pay 200 zuz. And the Torah says, "Vasisim lo kasher zomim lasus liyachid." What did you want to do to your friend? You wanted to make him pay 200 zuz. So now we have to make him pay. In that case, he'd be parted from Malchus. Why? Because again, the principle of Kedei Rishasa tells me we can't give him both. Normally, we would give him, unless we know otherwise, right? Unless the Torah tells us otherwise, we give him Malchus and we don't give him Mammon. But if the Torah would say give him Mammon, then he wouldn't get Malchus. That's as far as Kedei Rishasa is concerned. So im Mechayv Moso Mammon, you could underline those words, im Mechayv Moso Mammon, lo Yischayv Malchus. Okay, we'll come back to that in just a minute in the case of Edim Zomim. Avol b'misa u'mamon. When we're talking about the parasha of Lo Yason, is even if you be chayiv mamon, that would not undermine his chayiv misa. You know, mamon is not a poter of misa. The Torah is saying in Lo Yason that misa is a poter of mamon. And if Lo Yitzu, the misa cannot, for whatever reason, be poter mi mamon, because the Torah says in that case he has to pay the mamon. That has no bearing on his chiv misa. The chiv misa is not going to be affected. It's not going to be undermined by his chiv mama. In Kedei Rishaso, which applies to Malchus and Mammon, if the Torah would say he's chayiv Mammon in this case, Memela, there's no chiv Malchus, because Kedei Rishaso tells me you can't give him two punishments. But in the case of misa Mammon, where the Torah is saying lo yason, which means that the misa patters him up from Mammon, if for whatever reason in a certain scenario the Torah would say that the misa does not patter him up from Mammon, the Mammon would not patter him up from misa. There is no such halacha, and we're not applying the principle of Kedei Rishaso. Now again, you and I might ask, well, if the Torah says Kedei Rishaso in Mammon and Malchus, why wouldn't the Torah say Kedei Rishaso in Mammon and misa? Again, that leads us back to Gzeiras HaKasuv. Again, you may offer the following explanation. You don't say Kedei Rishaso in Misa and Mammon, because what the Torah is trying to do is in Misa and Mammon, the Torah is not telling you we can't give you two punishments. The Torah is telling you that one punishment has to knock off the other punishment. That's a one directional street. It's a one way street. You can't say that Mammon is going to knock off a chiv misa. You could say misa can knock off a chiv mammon.
When you say that the Torah is mechayiv in a mammon, does that mean when there's misa, you're talking about the misa b'shogeg?
Well, the conclusion we came to yesterday was that in misa b'shogeg, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees,
right. I mean, that
he doesn't pay the mammon.
That he does not
pay the mammon. That's called Tana de Bechizkiya. Because again, Tana Bechizkiya says that just like in Makkah Behemi, you're always chayav even in Shogeg.
So too
in Makkah Adam, you're always potter even in Shogeg.
According to this Svar, where is there Metzius that the Torah is mechayav Mammon even when there's Misa? Now you say he's chayav Mammon, but he's not. But
So let's say, for example, if a person were to. To kill someone, and at the same time he did a chavola, right? So the chavola would generate five categories of punishment, and they're all monetary. And the Torah says that's called in Lashon Hashas Ribsa Torah Chovel B'Chaver L'Mamon. So the Torah says in the case of chovel you have to pay mamon. We go a step further now, say, well, if the guy died from his injuries, we're not going to put him to death, the rotzeach, I mean the chovel, the person, the nogeif, we'll call him. Let's pater him from misa. Why? Because kedei rishasa. Because we can't impose two punishments. It'll become clear, I think, when we get to the third paragraph in this series. Let's take a look at the one more paragraph. He says, v'hashta shapir itzter krod kedei rishasa. V'lo matzinon, lo matzinu lemelef migzera shav de rasha, Michaive Misos. Why? Why do we need the? What justifies the pasuk of Kedei Rishaso? The lefi zeh haya hadin nosein, and we're on the top of the left column. If you find it, the edim zomimim, where the Torah says explicitly. Vasisim lo kasha zomim lasos liyachiv kevan shenis rabbi letashlumin. Yishalmu v'yilku. If we didn't have Kedei Rishaso, and we were straitjacketed by the limud of Lo Yason and Dayel of Omen Adin Lios Kinodin, so you can't go beyond the original. So the original would be Misa and Mammon. Mm-hmm. is ki echi de chayve misis ne'arog ma'afil biofen shechayovim l'shalim mamon. Even if lu yitzu, you have a case like Torah ribsa chovel b'chaver l'mamon, or maybe the case of Edom Zomim, if he testified against someone that he's chayv misa and mamon. In all these cases, he's still chayv misa. So therefore, if Malchus is going to be derived from chayv misa with that equation of the Gzeira Shava Rasha Rasha, then in Malchus itself, in a case where he's chayv mamon, he's going to be chayv Malchus as well. Just like in the case of misa and mamon, if he's chayv mamon, he still is chayv misa. Right? Misa poteres mi mamon, but ain't mamon poter mi misa. But here's the Kamashmal, and I will cave on the Siv Kra, Kidei Risha Sosha Nemar, She Efshal Chaivo, Bishne Onshim, Is Mamela Kavan, the Al Zed, Nisrabel Tashlumin, I'm sorry, Kavan, the Adam Zomim, Nisrabel Tashlumin, Ishuv Enom Lokim. They cannot get Malchus, because Bezdin cannot implement two punishments for the same crime. Even though in the case of Misa Mamon, we will, if HaTorah rips a Mamon, we will impose both punishments. Mm-hmm. But that's because there's no Kedei Rishasa in the case of Misa. Kedei Rishasa only applies in the case of Malchus. So we now have an answer to Tosus's Kasha. Why did we need the extra pasuk of Kedei Rishasa when we have the Gzeirah Shava Risha Risha? Mm-hmm. And that's going to allow me to equate Chayvei Malchus with Chayvei Misa. And if a Chayvei Misa is part of a Tashlumin, a Chayvei Malchus is going to be part of a Tashlumin. Yeah, but what about a case where he's Chayvei Tashlumin? Would he get the Malchus? And the answer is, if we only have the Gzeirah Shava Rasha Rasha, then he would get Malchus. But now, because now that we have the drush of Kedei Rishaso, that Yalfus is going to teach me that he also get Malchus. Why doesn't he get Malchus? Because Bezdin can't implement two punishments. The hands of Bezdin are tied. Now he wants to weave in another sugya. And that's the sugya at the beginning of Elul Naris. V'hinei li'el daf lamed beis on v'beis shakla v'tari minalan v'enim zom mishalim v'enim lokim. In other words, you have in the case of Edom Zomer, who testified against Reuven that he owes 200 zuz to Shimon. And then the Edom became Zomer, so we have an overlap of both Malchus for the violation of the law of Losad Abrachet Shokar and Mamon, as the Torah spells it out, Vasisim Lokasha Zoma. And now the question is, which of the two punishments should we mete out? Should we mete out the punishment of Mamon, because Mamon is more chamor? Or should we say no? Certainly the physical suffering of Malchus is more chamor than Mamon. Mamon just signed a check in Gomarnu. And which of these two punishments is the more chamoritic punishment? So the answer is that Mishalmim V'enom Lokim. Now how do we know such a thing? Why can't I argue logically that Lokin is more severe, more harsh than Mama? I think that's intuitively correct.
But Tasitim Lokasher Zaman.
Correct. So that's called Beferish Ripsatoratim Zomul Mama. Kasher. Pshita de Mishalim. Why do you need to tell me a big chiddush that he pays? Hariatosis liel daf lamidom and bezir maska ravashi kosu b'shem rabbeinu tam. The bechol makom mamon lizeh unefashas lizeh poter mitash lumen. The gam ba'azoma chayovim gam l'shalem mishum de be'inon shetiskayim azoma klapi kol echad. So in the case of Azoma, we have to make him pay. The Edom Zomim will have to pay. The Imkain Gambachiv Malchus Umamon, the Edom Zomim, name Ahachi. The Yamit Alokim Yame Shalmim is Lonis Kaima Azoma. So we see our principle that we require Niskaima Ha'azoma. So if you require Niskaima Hazoma, then in the case of Enim Zomim Mishalmim Venim Lokim, certainly we would have to say that he has to pay and he doesn't get Malchus.
It's for a different reason though.
Yeah, what?
because it just says, because it's kasher zama. The malchus is not mishum le'edim zaymim. The malchus is mishum lo'sana.
Right. So that's what he means to say. He says, "Be'ir shetiskay ma'zoma kapi kol echo," which means the Torah says, "V'asisim lo kasha zoma," and therefore
you can't bring a riot from this case,
right? But yet the Gemara says, on this case itself, the Gemara says, addressing this case, the Gemara says, "Let's open up to Daf Lamed Beis on Beis, the Minolan Diedim Zom Mishalim Veinim Lokin."
Right?
You have it?
Yeah.
What does it say? What's the language there? I have it here. Do we have it?
Yeah.
The exact question.
It's at the bottom of the page. Yeah, the whole page is this.
Where's the Adam Zomim? Adam Zomim also, the Gemara asks, why do they pay and they don't get
Malchus?
Because in
the name of Kol Lokein and Mishalim,
right?
On Rabbi Loi, the Ferish Ribsa Torah in Zoyim the Tashlumim.
Correct. The Ferish Ribsa Torah in Zoyim the Tashlumim, and that's based on what? On Vasisem Lo Kasher Zomam Lasos Li Ochim. So why not apply the principle here of mama lezeh, umisa lezeh, unefashis lezeh, kol makom mama lezeh, unefashis lezeh, is potem mitashlum, and the only exception is going to be the case of hazama. And why is hazama the exception? And we're going to say that what? That he's not part of the Tashlumin, we don't apply the principle of Kim Levi the Ram. You know, the answer is because Befer Shrips the Torah, Adam Zomim with Tashlumin. Yishum to be Inish at this Kayim Hazoma Klapi Kol Echad. Him Kain, what's he driving at? Gam Bechiv Malkus Umamon, the Adam Zomimim, Neymar Hachi. The Amrit the Lokavain of Mishalmu, Lonis Kaima Zoma. Sharechi of Malkus, whom we lost son of a Lok Mikasha Zoma. So let's see if we can understand the Kasha here. The Gemara.
The Gemara is between Raman and Chachom as to what the Petur is.
Just give me 1 second, Herb, I'm sorry. The Iamrit Lokan, the Eino Mishalmu. But who can tell me what's bothering Tosus here? He says the following again. The answer starts with Ulafima Shinispara Nicha. That's gonna be the new insight here. But I just want to understand, before I understand Nicha, I want to understand what's low Nicha, if you follow me. Liel Shakamatari Minal Lok Dilma Lokin the Aina Mishalmin the Kosha the Pshita the Mishalmin Shaitosis and the only Shaykh Rabinutam the Khoma Komaman Lazer and Fashazer. Potu means potu mitash lumen. That's according to Rabbeinu Tam, that you're always going to say potu mitash lumen. The exception to that is going to be hazama. Fine. In the case of hazama. So let's just see. Can anyone open up Tosus on Lamed Amid Beis It's a very long Tosfos. It goes on, I think, to Lamed Aleph. Am I right? And see if you can find this language that Be'inan Shetiskayma Zoma Klapi Kol Echad. Is it a long Tosfos that?
Lamed Aleph Beis Ravashi Amar. Bizar Shafa Truma.
Yeah. Doesn't go on to Lamed Gimel as well, if
yeah,
I remember correctly.
Goes on to Lamed. Oh. Lamed Aleph.
I'm sorry, Lamed Aleph. I meant.
We talked about this.
He's answering very, very the chares and not in the difficult kasha.
But what is the kasha? But before kasha we get to
he's answering one of Gemara. I mean, the Gemara is the problem. The Gemara says, "Menalon de'em zayim mishamim and aloki."
Right.
How do you know they're mishamim? So he gives a teretz because it's the apostrophe or it's a shnei shemos for that according to
the kasha.
Okay. So he's asking, what was the kasha to begin with?
Right, why?
Because we always say
that potumitashlum. So what is that? I don't understand. We're saying minayin ledim zom shemeshalmin v'en loka. He's quoting Rabbi Natan.
Right.
That potumitashlum.
Chol makom momen lezeh nefosh lezeh potumitashlum.
Right, but the answer is that's true in general, but the exceptions to the rules where the Torah tells you that you have to pay, yeah. Like in the
so
case
why,
of Zom.
Why is he asking the Kasha? Why is the Gemara asking the Kasha?
Well, the Gemara is asking the Kasha because this is an exception to the rule. The rule should be that Mishalvim, the rule should be that Lokin Vienna Mishalvim. Correct? Like, for example, in the case of Momel Lezev Nefosh, Zev Potomi Tashlum, Eino Mishalm.
Right.
So the Gemara asks, how do we know that Azom is different? And the Gemara answers, because the Torah says, Vasisim Lo Kash Azom, so he has to pay the...
Well, you see, without the Pasuk, Mishwar, Mealocha, whatever you want to call it, it would be Tashlumin.
Correct, it would be Tashlum. So why is that a kasha? I'm just not understanding. Something's bothering the Tosfos here, which I don't understand what's bothering him. Came Kamachi of Malkus Umamun, case of Adam Zomimun. Yeah, but Lokim Adam Sham Lonis Kaima Zom. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see the kasha. I'm not going to appreciate his answer unless I see the kasha here. Vehine li el. I'm just going to read it one more time. So the Gemara suggests to Habamina that he should get Malkus, and he's saying no. Pshita that he has to pay. Yeah, Pshita has to pay because the Torah says he has to pay. But what's the problem?
Let's go back a second.
What is he getting from this Rabbeinu Tam? Adrabba, that seems to explain the Gemara's Havamina, it says Dilma Lokin V'Eino Mishalmim, correct? Lokin V'Eino Mishalmim. But now he's saying that contradicts. Oh, that contradicts the principle of Rabbeinu Tam. Oh, I see what he's saying. In other words, the Gemara is entertaining the possibility of Lokin V'Eino Mishalman, right. In Adam Zomamim. But that's against Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Because Rabbeinu Tam holds that whenever you have Mama Lezeh or Tefosh Lezeh, you're part of Tashlumin. In other words, if we apply that rule, and let's say we apply that rule universally to every single case, then in the case of Adam Zomim, he should not have to pay Momin. So what does it mean? Why does Gemara raise the possibility that he should get Malkus and he shouldn't pay Momin? Let's see if that is against your son.
If you didn't have
Inon Shetiskayim Azoma Kapikol Ech Osu. See, we're missing
something. If you didn't have the Pasuk.
Wait, just tell me, what does it mean? Debe Inon Shetiskayim Azoma kol echad.
He's telling, if you didn't have the pasuk, you would have a gzeir shavah. Okay.
Yeah.
So misvara, for getting rid of the pasuk, misvara it's lakum shamu.
Okay, so that's what the Gemara said. That we should apply it to the lokum mishalm.
What is the Gemara saying? What is the Gemara discussing? Zomim mishalmim veinim lokum.
Well, no, the Gemara only says mishalmim veinim lokum because of the principle of kasha zoma. But the Gemara before it introduced kasha zoma, the first rips of Torah item something right. Mama, and the Torah, the Gemara says that maybe he should get malchus and not pay mama.
From the gzer shava, what are you going to say from the gzer shava? What does the gzer shava want to tell you?
That the misa should pati you from mama and malchus should pati you from mama. But again, he's saying that gzer shava doesn't apply to malchus because in malchus it's a totally different halacha of kedei rishasa. But I don't know, what does he mean? I think there's one piece here of the puzzle that's missing, and that's called Be'inon Shetiskayim Hazoma Kapi Kol Echot. Let me just see if by chance I can find that in Tosus.
That's a quotation from Rabbeinu Tam.
Oh, is it in Rabbeinu Tam? We're on Daf Lamed?
The Tosus Rashi.
Lamed Omid Aleph, you're saying?
Lamed Omid Beis unto Lamed Aleph.
Oh, I see. Lamed Omid Beis. Lamed Omid Beis, Tosfos. That's the Tosfos Rav Ashi that we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. And
about halfway through.
Okay, which appears, it's printed on Lamed Aleph?
Lamed Aleph.
Okay, good. So let's just see if we can. Be'inon Shetiskayim Kol Echad. You see, that part of this Tosfos we never learned. Let's just see if we, because I think he's
near the Benetton.
Yeah, so we've. Let's just see if we can.
It's right in the middle of the narrow lines.
Right, okay. So let's just see what we have over here. Again, I don't know, I got to this point and that's where I got stuck, and I have another half of the shia to give you, so I'm just going to ask for mechila. Let's not do this now. I'll tell you why, because in order to do this near elevated time, you're going to have to go through the whole Tosis. So I got stuck over here. I'll make a note to myself that we'll pick it up. But now I want to pick up with you page Tufkuf. I think we gave it out, correct? You have Tufkuf? Hopefully you'll find. So let me just give a little introduction to what's going on here. We've discussed this on many occasions. You don't have it?
No.
Oh. All right, so we'll do it by pen. If necessary, we'll photocopy it. In the case of onus umafate in an isha she'ena ru'uya l'kaima, does he marry her or does he not marry her? The Mishnah says that he pays knas. That's at the beginning of the perek. But towards the end of the perek, that's on daf mem. Let's open up the Daf Mem. You'll see that. Well, let's start with Lamed Tes for a moment. Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Mishnah, it says that Nimtza Badover Ervo Eina Ruya Lomu BiYisrael Eina Rashay LeKaima. So there's no mitzvah of a lo siyah leisha. So the Gemara asks the obvious question: what about Esei Docha Lo Sase? So the Gemara answers that we only apply Esei Docha Lo Sase in cases like Mila B'Tzaras. Why? D'lo efshal kiyume li essay. There's no way that you could be mekayim the essay of Mila without violating the Isur of Ktzitzas Baheres. Aval hacha I amra d'lo b'ina mi isa li essay kla. That if she says she doesn't want to marry him, she has veto rights in the case of Onus, because it says below seali should be daita. Therefore, we can have a cake and eat it, so to speak. We can maintain the violation, the shmira, the avoidance of violating the lav, whatever that lav would be. Let's say mamzeres, for example. And at the same time, we don't have to worry about the essay. We're not forfeiting the essay because she said she doesn't want to marry him. So if you take a look at Rashi, three lines down from the top on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, he says, Hashtanami melamdin osa lomar eini rotza. We teach her to say, I don't want to marry him. So what we're going to study now is Rashi and three other interpretations in the Rishon. What does it mean that in the case of Elosi Elisha, we don't apply the universal principle of Esse Dochalosa, said because she could say, I don't want to marry him. So Rashi, as we saw, says that we teach her to say that she doesn't want to marry him. What would be if she insists that she does want to marry him? What would Rashi seem to be implying in a case where she insists, we try to teach her, but she's not a good student. She's learning disabled. I don't mean that literally.
But it's still a conditional status.
But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, Malamdinosa, that she has to say, Eini Rotsa. As I state in Rashi, again, there are other Rishonim we're going to agree with you, Yosef, but when we have Rashi, Rashi says, Malamdinosa, Lomar Shady Rotsa.
Meaning that if she doesn't
learn.
That's why I call it, she's a slow learner, then we're going to apply the principle of Esi Dochalosa. No. So I'll just read this to you. He says, Mashma mi Divrei Rashi. One second. You can slug this up, but let me just present it. Mashma mi divrei Rashi, he's quoting the Stipler. The kol zman shelo amra lo beina is dina hu di esei dochalosa. V'im nasa osa, he went and he married her. Lo avi kamandi over al lotas. They're not going to fault him for violating a lotas of kedesha. Let's say if she's a mamzeres. El bezdim melamdin esei shelo amra lo beina. And this is going to have implications about whether Esei Dochalosa says Hutra Dechuya, if you follow what I mean. Now, this is in a fallback position. Should we try to avoid it if possible? So the Gemara seems to say that in the case of Mila Vitzaras, there's no way of avoiding it. In this case, there's a way of avoiding it. But that's only if we can avoid it. If the Torah gives us an avenue to investigate that we can avoid it, but Lois Dayan Milsa, then she's a bad learner. Then Enochinami, if he marries her, then it's Esei Dochalosa. Bezdin Malamdin Esei. We try as much as we can to be successful in circumventing the need to activate Esei Dochalosa.
And if we're not successful,
then Esei Dochalosa.
If we're not successful, maybe there's a betur of the lav.
Okay, that's called Esei Dochalosa.
Not if he marries her. Not if he marries her.
Well, again, why do you remove the lav if he doesn't marry her? I don't know what you mean by that. The whole thrust of removing the lav is in order to facilitate his marriage to her and fulfill the rights of Los Elisha.
Being that Bezdin is trying to melamed herself, that in itself removes the lav.
Again, if you're right, if they successfully convince her not to want to marry her, that removes the lav.
If they don't successfully convince her,
then Esei Dochalosa said that he's obligated to marry her, Velosi Elisha. That's what we see in Rashi. Don't get excited because
the Diak in Rashi.
The Diak in Rashi. But again, there are going to be other Rishonim who are going to disagree with that. So let's go on to the second Shita in this list of four Shitas. This is the Rambam. Perek Gimel Milchus Naira Alochehe. Frek the Rambam, very atypical language. Belova lo yovo esse viyitches alosase. And the Rambam answers, Sharei efshar shelo tirtze hi v'nimtza ese velosese kayyomit.
Efshar.
Yeah, let's. The Rambam doesn't have melamdinos, so the Rambam says efshar. Since it's efshar, therefore we're not going to apply the principle of esei dochalosas. So here's where the stipler says the following. Hainu means this is the implication of the Rambam. The hecha the efshar lekayim shneim. Again, the emphasis on the word efshar. If there's a theoretical possibility of being mekayim shneim, the Rambam is saying ein esei dochalosas. That's not true in the case of Mila Vitzaras. There's no Efshel Kaim Shneim. But it is true in the case of a Ma'anis and a Mamzeres, for example.
Okay,
now he has a whole long addition here to try to show and demonstrate that Tosus Dibra Maschel Nese, which is right here, the second Tosus on our page, he agrees with the Rambam. So maybe we'll go through this. I just wanted to get it first an overview of the four shitos. Then he writes, again, this is the second shita. Is chein mashmaya tosis yishonim. Shekosu delisfarim delogarsi hocha mila bitzaras v'klai bitzitzis ala mila bitzaras l'chudei. That you omit the girsa of Kilayim bitzitzis. How do we shoot the Kilayim? The Kilayim eino poshim kol kach the efshel kaim shneim. Muchach the ikar tam. It seems like the main thrust of what the Gemara is answering is when it says he amet lo be'ino hu mishun de choshiv efshel kaim shneim, which is exactly toasted in the Rambam.
You're saying that toasted.
He's saying in the name of the Tosi Shanim that we should take out the girs of Kilayim Bitzitzis, right. And why does the Tosi Shonim object to the girsa? We don't have a girsa, but there was such a girsa of Kilayim Bitzitzis, because in Kilayim it could be that it's Efshel Kaim Shnei. Which again, we have to know more about Kilayim Bitzitzis for that, but let's just accept it as a given. But in any event, the thrust of what the Tosi Shonim is saying here is that when do we exclude the principle of Esei Dochalosa if it's Efshel Kaim Shneim? If it's Efshel Kaim Shneim, there's no Esei Dochalosa. And that's what we're seeing over and over again in this whole, say, we'll call it Roman numeral number 2, this school of thought.
Number 3.
Okay, let's go on to number 3. The Tosi Shonim adds another explanation to this Gemara. The Hacha Gabi Dida Leka Ese Da Iboi Amro Lo Be'inole. Not sure what he means by that, but the very fact that the Torah says that she can decide whether she wants to marry him means that she's not obligated to be married by him. She's a victim of rape. She doesn't have to marry this guy. Hilkach, therefore, let's say, for example, in the case of Amzeres, I'm just giving one example of many. Ein lo lav or belav, she can't violate the lav. Mishum esei didei, because of his esei, he's obligated v'lo sili. She's not obligated to marry him, and that's what Gemara wants to demonstrate or illustrate by saying that she could say, "I don't want to marry him because it's not a mitzvah." And with regard to the lo sasei, he musheres kemosav v'hishua kosav ishalish. We have a principle that in all isurei bia, she gets the same violation that he does. So a mamzeres who has a relationship with the Yisrael, who's not a mamzer, then she violates a lav d'oraisa as well. But she doesn't have the essay here in this case. Ulashita zu hecha di avar v'nasa osa. If he went ahead and he married her, so it would come out the following. Fascinating. So again, the stipend. Who ain't over? He would not violate the Iser of Mamzeres. Why not? Esei Dovalosa. He has the Esei. Dilagabav Ika Esei V'Esei Dovalosa. Well, he overes Dilagabi Dida Leka Esei. Wow. That's wild. So let's go over the three
that's what they're teaching.
We'll get to the fourth in a second. So again, according to Rashi, in a case where she insists on marrying him, no one violates the losasa. Why? Because hasidocha losas, and she's a slow learner, so she rejected Bezdin, and she wants to marry him. According to the Rambam, and he claims that's also the sheet of Tosus, which we haven't seen yet, and the Tosus Yeshanim, it's all an issue of Efshel Kaim Shneim, and therefore if they went ahead and got married, both of them would violate a losasa. So again, according to Rashi, neither of them would violate a losa. We apply Esei Dochalosa. According to the second school of thought, there's no Esei Dochalosa here because it's Efshel Kaim Shneim. And we don't apply the principle of Esei Dochalosa and Efshel Kaim Shneim. Therefore, if they got married, they would both be Chai Malkus for violating the law of Mazeris in this example. And according to the third sheet, if they went ahead and got married, it would depend. He's off the hook. He's, we'll give him shishi. Why? Because that's idokalosa. She's going to get malchus because legabe dida, leka esei klal. Now we're up to the fourth sheet. Wow. Do you see what he's doing here? This is not just an anthology. He's not just giving you three different sheets that he's shown him. He's showing you the nafkaminis. And there are three different approaches to what would be in a case where she married him. What do we say? Are they both guilty? Are they both guiltless? Or one of the two is guilty? So if you go with Rashi, neither of them are guilty because Esei Dochalosa. Because Rashi says the only reason there's no Esei Dochalosa is because Malamdin Osa. But if we weren't successful, Malamdin Osa is an essay. The essay will be Dochalosa. The other polar extreme would be the Rambam and Tosus. They're going to say that they're both guilty. And there's no essay dochalosa. What's mafki essay dochalosa? It's Efshel Kaim Shneim. That's a rule. That's a limitation rule. In the paradigm case of Mila Bitzaras, it's the Efshel Kaim Shneim. So we apply the principle of essay dochalosa. But if it's Efshel Kaim Shneim, that theoretical possibility of Efshel Kaim Shneim is enough to remove and undermine the principle of essay dochalosa. So then they both get marks. And in the middle between these two extremes, we have the Karavai sheet, so to speak, of the Tosi Shadim. As far as he's concerned, it's Esei Dochalosa, sir. He can marry her, and he'll get brownie points for that, up in Shemayim. But as far as she's concerned, she's going to get Malkus. Why? Because there's no essay. She doesn't have an essay. How do we know she doesn't have an essay? Because the Torah says that she can say to him, go fly a kite, I'm not interested in marrying you. Which, by the way, I would emotionally, this is not a halachic statement. I would advocate for to malam din osa even in a case where there's no lav at all, even a case where it's an isha shefshel kaima. Who wants to marry a guy who raped her? I mean, that's disgusting. That's repugnant.
That's why she has the choice.
But that's not the Gemara. When the Gemara says malam din osa going to Rashi, it means because of the lav of. Because Rashi holds that Esei Dochalosa is like a fallback position, it's only B'chuyim. Now we get to number four, the Ramban. Zok the Ramban, Pirush Acher.
To the Mesa, Tundum, the Lesa of Armela.
Yeah, that could be. You're right, because who's going to want to marry this?
Damaged goods.
Yeah, you're right. In that case, Malam Terososhe, she's told my roadside. Zokter Rabban Pirushacha Mi Isoli Esse Klau. Now this I had trouble with. I got through to the Rabban, but here I need your help. Rabban Kosa Pirushacha Mi Isoli Esse Klau. Velo Ashkechan Esse Dekil Shehidocha Losase. Kil, right? Kuf Yud Lamed. I had a friend who had that last name. He lived in Bifugad. I have lost touch with him. Anyway, Kiel means it's a. There are two piles of essay. There's an essay chomer and an essay kal. What makes this into an essay kal? The birshusa adam levatlo meikara. If the Torah gives rishus to a person to undermine the essay, meikaro, from its very foundations, that's called an essay kal. The ain essay kal docha losasen. De lo goli lon rachmana de bichi high essay, to an essay like this, then it can be docha losasen. The dummy, this is the Ramban's precedent for this whole breakthrough. Yeah. The Gemara is going to talk about, let's say, Kohen Gadol to a Basula, which is Eino Shava Bakol. Such an essay would not be Docha Losas. Now, it's not just the Ramban, it's the Rashba and the Ritva. So I got confused here. Maybe you could straighten me out. I thought that the Ramban is reiterating what we saw in the name of the Rambam and Tosus and Tosi Shanim, that we don't apply Esei Dochalosa in this case. The only difference is a difference in formulation, in language. There's a nuance of a difference. They said that it's Efshel Kaim Shnein. Why? Because if she says Lo Be'ina, so then we have the benefits of both. You know, there's no violation of the essay because she said Lo Be'ina. There's no violation of the Losa said because there's no reason for him to have beer with her or marry her because there's no essay at all. The Ramban is saying a little bit different. Not that it's Efshel Kaim Shneim, but it's an essay kal. So let's see if there's enough gemina. So he says the following, with Shita Zu, according to this Shita the Ramban, ain't tzarech l'lamda shetemayim bo. Dibalav hachi ain kan din essay dochalosas. And it's by virtue of the fact that the essay is classified as an essay kal, it doesn't have the power to be dochalosas. So that's not included in the parish of essay dochalosas. V'im ara v'nisa'a shneim ovrim belosas. Okay, that we said even according to the Rambam and the Ramban. I'm sorry, the Rambam and Tosus. That shneim ovrim belosas. So both the Rambam with Tosfos and the Ramban agree that there's no essay tochalosas. But the difference is that what? That according to the Rambam, we're going to have to teach her, we're going to have to influence her to say lo be'ino. No, that doesn't make any sense. There's no nafkimina. I don't understand. There's no nafkimina.
I don't understand something.
Yeah.
If she didn't object to the marriage, then even if she didn't object to the marriage,
she'd love to marry this guy.
That he's saying that it's an asei kal, and therefore there's no possibility of docha lo
right.
Asei.
The fact that she could deny, or what does he call it again?
Refuse.
Yeah, what was his language? Vatlo meikaro. The fact that she could be mevatel the mitzvah meikaro, that makes it into an essay klal, a keel. Meaning an absolute essay that's not conditional is much more chamur, it weighs heavier on the scale of mitzvah asay than an essay which is conditional, that may or may not be obligatory. So when the obligation is unconditional, it's absolute, that's called an essay chamur. If the obligation is conditional, that's an essay klal. I'm just thinking out loud whether that would have any nafkimina about, let's say, in mezuzah or in tzitzis and so forth. Maybe these mitzvahs are called kal because you're not necessarily, the conditions not necessarily are met and there's no absolute chiyuv. I don't have to have a bias. I don't have to wear a beged that has dalet kanfis to be chayvet tzitzis. So maybe that would make it an essay kal. It wouldn't be dochalosas. I don't know. Just thinking out loud. But in any event, he says one thing about the case of marrying an anusa, which means velosi elisha, that's definitely called an essay kal, and the reason is because she could say lo be'ina, and the whole essay goes on the board. That's called mivatel meikara. So let's see how the Ramban applies this to a sugya in Bav Metzia daf lamed. Hoya kohen v'aveda v'beis hakvaros. So should the Kohen be metami himself and violate a law of being kode of vikidashto, and
yes,
oh lo yatami b'amo, whatever the pasuk there demar, in order to fulfill the essay of hashik teshivim. So again, you and I would say it's not even a hamamina because it's not be'idna. In other words, the very moment that he enters into the beis hakvaras, he violates the law. But in any event, the Gemara says that there's such a havamina that we should apply the principle of essay dochalos and allow the Kohen, even require that the Kohen enter into the Beis HaKvaros to return Yenem's Shepsula. Says the Gemara, Lekach nemer v'salamta, po'om shatom v'sal. So the Gemara has a special Yalfusa to derive that we don't apply Esei Dochalosas. So he has, the Ramban has the following sugya. I'm not sure if this is the girsa that we have, but this is the girsa, the sugya that the Ramban has. The Makshe Allah, the Gemara is going to ask, Lama Likra, why do I need the pasuk v'salamta pshita? Which, again, before we see the Ramban, it would seem to imply that there are different types of esim in the Torah. There's an essay of Mammon, where, you know, the essay doesn't have any, shall I say, ritual implication. It's purely, I have to give you back your mom and I have to give you back your aveda. And then there's a losase in this case, which is isura. You know, for a kohen to be metami himself, that's an isur. So Ramban says it a little differently. He says, upirish, the kevan dafilu bal aveda kohen, ain't a rashoy letame atzu v'shil aveda. Let's say the owner of this animal that roamed into a cemetery, is a kohen. He would not be allowed, clearly, to enter in to save his own mama, because it's not esei dochalosas. It's therefore hech yitami ze bishvilo. How could this person, who's a kohen, be metami on behalf of the owner if the owner himself could not be metami? Harei bo bailin v'omru lo bo. Lesa le'esei klal.
That's a bowl of emo.
No, I don't think he's talking about bowl of emo. He's saying the following, that this essay is a conditional essay. Why? Because
it depends upon who you are and where it is.
Correct, and it could be that if the Baal Aveda himself is not, you know, he has no chiv klapi his own Aveda, and therefore he's not allowed to go in. And it could be that in such a case he can't tell another kohen to go in. Whatever that logic is, I don't know. Again, we have to study this in depth. But he's saying that makes the essay into a conditional essay, and therefore, what the Gemara says is, Lamalei krop shita. I don't need a pasuk for this. For sure, there would be no chiyuv for the kohen to be metamei himself for the aveda and enter into the beis hakfaras. And the reason for that is because an essay kal is not dochalosasa, and this is an essay kal because it's contingent. Hilchos lo dachina mitzvah saseh. Therefore, in this case of a mitzvah saseh. This reminds me a little bit of lo yibcha evyon. You know what I'm talking about? That I can't expect you to do for me what I can't do for myself. You wouldn't do it for yourself, so you don't have to do it for me. You know what I'm talking about? Lo yibcha evyon? Like, let's say, for example, you don't have to give up the water for my sake because you have to drink the water. Well, let's say, for example, you have money and he wants your money, but you need the money. So you don't have to give him the money if you need the money. So what obligation do I have as a kohen to be matami myself for you when you yourself wouldn't be matami yourself? So I come first. I have to be shomer my kedusha. In any event, the bottom line is that since if the aveda were owned by a kohen, there would be no chiv of hashavas aveda for another kohen to be matami himself. Therefore, in this essay, we have a certain proviso in this essay. In the scenario where the Aveda finds itself in a cemetery. Is lo amrinon essay dochalosas. And then the Ramban says, v'chein, and also, hod amir b'ksubasi amra lo be'ina mi'isa l'essay kaiklomar, hol v'efshal olivatel asa mitzvah, is afkish amra be'ina, ain't shomim lo. V'shneim chayovim b'chvodu shal makom, meaning both he the ma'anis and she the anusa. V'lo goli rachmana b'chihai di esse yitchelosas. So therefore, even though she says be'inolo, right? Like you said before, Tanla Mesav Tandu, right? So she wants to marry him, is nevertheless, there's no possibility here because an essay that's contingent is an essay kal, v'efshel v'akla, and such an essay is not docha losas.
Not docha.
I just don't see any nafkemina here, la'aloch l'maisa, between this shita of the Ramban Ude'ime and the shita of the Rambam and all those who, the Bali Tosus here, that accept the Rambam. Now, where do you see in Tosus that Tosus accepts the Rambam that it's Efshel Kaim Shneim? So let's take a look at Tosus Dima Maskel Nesei. If you can look into the Tosus, we don't have that much time, but I'm going to read to you what he says as a summary of Tosus. Maybe you can...
Where is the Tosus?
Nesei, the second Tosus on Daf Mem.
No.
Yes. He says, the hada be'inan kra velosia le'isha isha ra'uyalo velosagi besvara de'i amra lo be'ina. Right, so Gemara has the Mishnah itself has a special drasha to teach you that there's no mitzvah to marry this girl if she's not ra'uyalo. Why do we need a pasuk for that? Why didn't you say I amra lo be'ina? So he says, mishum de'ilav kra v'chashvina le de'lo efshel l'kayim shneim v'chashiv essay. V'chashvina le de'lo efshel l'kayim shneim. Again, the Ramban's and Tosus Kash is defined. Why do I need this drasha? Why not just say I amra lo be'ina? So I think the answer to that question, if I'm reading this correctly, is mishum de'iba ilav kra, if not for the special drasha of isha re'uyalo, havachashvina le de'lo efshel l'kayim shneim. Is there such a language in Tosus? The efshel l'kayim shneim? The low efshel l'kayim shneim.
Wait, what? The kayim shneim? Yeah, it's right at the end of the Tosfos.
At the end of the Tosfos. That's
why
you didn't find it, because it's all the way at the end.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, it's right. Yeah, the ikar mitzvah hi lisa.
So ikar mitzvah means that this is what the Torah really wants, and in the case of a mamzeres, for example, Losa said it's efshel l'kayim shneim because the Torah wants him to marry her. So he writes again, quoting all the achronim, that mashma mitosis the mishum svar di amro lo beinon chashvina le efshel l'kayim shneim. There's the Gemara's vacillating back and forth before the pasuk and after the pasuk as to whether or not this is called efshel l'kayim shneim. In the Havamin, it's called Lo Efshel Kam Shneim because the Torah really wants the Iker Mitzvah that he marry her. And that's similar to a Sugi in Yevamos on Daf Chof Alf, which is called Chalitza Mamakum Yibum Lav Klum Hu.
Yep, he says that at the end.
Which means that even though the Torah gave the option of the Yavam to give a Chalitza, but if she has the option of Yavam, forget about Chalitza. It's like a non-existing entity. And here also, even though there's a fallback, this is that she could say lo be'ina, but that's like chalitza. That's not something that we want. So it's like chalitza's lo klumu. That doesn't exist. So lo be'ina doesn't exist. So
Torah,
that's called lo efshel l'kayim shneim.
But the Torah itself explains.
Right. But we're just explaining why we need a pasuk for that. What would we have thought? We would have thought that what's the kavanas hakosav? We're sort of like analyzing the divine intention here. What was God's intention, his agenda? He wanted them to get married.
Yeah.
And just like in the case of Yibum and Chalitza, he wanted the Yibum.
Yeah.
He gave an option of Chalitza. That's not really what the Torah wants.
But the Torah didn't give an option in this case.
Well, just one second. So if you see it as two options, then you're in the maskana of the Gemara. And then you understand that it's efshel l'kayim shneim. And that's what we're going to derive from Velosi Elisha. But in the Havamina, before we had Losi Elisha, Isha Ruyalo, we would have thought Esei Docha Losi said. Why would we think Esei Docha, after all, it's Efshel L'Kayim Shneim, if she says Lo Be'in and she doesn't want to marry him? The answer is, that's not really an option. I mean, it is an option, but it's not the option that the Torah desires. The Torah wants to see this marriage take place. So that's called lo efshal lekayim shneim in the havamina of the Gemara, and that's going to necessitate this pasuk and this drasha of lo siyul isha isha ruilo. But bottom line is, we see that Tosfos, in dealing with the question of whether or not this is esei dochalos, said the maskonas asugi, there's no esei dochalos. And why? Because it's efshal lekayim shneim. You see clearly that Tosfos, like the Rambam, is operating with this principle of efshal lekayim shneim. She could say she doesn't want it. That's called efshal lekayim shneim, and the Torah gave options. In such an essay where the Torah gave options, we don't give the essay that status and that ability to be dochalosas. So if they went ahead and they got married, they would both get malchus for mamzerus. There's no essay dochalosas here. The Ramban on the other hand says there's no essay dochalosas because the essay is an essay kal. It's an essay kal because it's a conditional essay, and the Torah gave the power to her in this case to undermine the essay from its very inception. Then we have Tosfos Yeshanim, who says that there's essay dochalos with regard to the Ma'anes, but there's no essay dochalos with regard to her, because she doesn't have a mitzvah to marry him.
Like my Shiva Harufa. Only one has the issue, not the other.
Right. And then we have the Shita of Rashi, that Rashi seems to say it all depends whether she's a good learner or not. Okay, then? So we'll stop here.
Art Scroll discusses this.
Okay, that's good. That's good. He